Morning, friends. My name's Tristan. Keep your Bible open as always, but again, a particularly useful day to have your Bible open because the section we're going to read, we read from chapter 7, but we're going to look at a section that starts in chapter 7 and goes all the way to chapter 10, so it'd be good to have your Bible so you can follow the story through. It's an incredible story. It's a riveting story. I'll pray, and then we'll start reading. Father, thank you so much, particularly for the grace and mercy that we see so clearly in Christ Jesus. As we read this part of Exodus this morning, Father, please help us to see your grace and mercy again and help us to appreciate it even more. Amen. The story of Exodus so far, I reckon, is a little bit like how in 7 days' time, the two best football teams in women's football are going to face off in a World Cup final. All been leading to this moment. 63 matches. Two teams will have come through the qualifying, the group stages, the round of 16, the quarterfinals, the semifinals, 4 years of preparation, 6 weeks of intense competition, all of the training, all of the pressure, all of the hype, and the hype is really building after last night, isn't it? And it's all come to this next Sunday, the final showdown. For someone, it's going to be a fairy tale. For someone, it's going to be heartbreak. They will be the two strongest teams on the planet, powerhouses of women's football. They'll have proven themselves to be the greatest and the most relentless, but one of them will lose. The other will go down in history. It's all been building to this moment. That is exactly what's been happening so far in the book of Exodus. It's all been building up to this moment that we've arrived at this morning. In Exodus, on one team is Yahweh, the God of Israel. On the other team, Pharaoh, God and King of Egypt. And it's all been building to this final showdown between the two of them. Yahweh's promised that his people will grow and multiply and become a great nation. Pharaoh has been killing the Israelites to stop them from multiplying. Yahweh's promised his people that one day they'll have a land of their own to call home. Pharaoh has kept them enslaved in Egypt. Yahweh has sent Moses and Aaron to rescue his people from all of their suffering, but on the very same day they went and confronted Pharaoh, Pharaoh doubled their misery. It has been crystal clear through Exodus so far that Yahweh and Pharaoh have very, very different ideas on how they want history to play out. One of them has to lose. Part of Exodus that we're reading this morning is the story of how that final contest goes down. It plays out through 10 plagues that Yahweh sends against Pharaoh, one after the other, 10 of them. And through these plagues, we learn some things about God. That's not going to come as a surprise to us, is it? Because, as we've been reminded repeatedly, Exodus is all about getting to know God. Exodus is God inviting his people to discover what he's like. So, of course, as we read this section again, we're going to learn some things about God. There's lots that we can learn, but it just so happens that there's three really big things that we learn about God. One of them comes in the first and second and third plagues. The next one comes in the fourth and fifth and sixth plagues. And the last one comes in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. So let's start with the first three. Let's look at the first three plagues. And right from the start, we discover that being opposed to God is a very, very dangerous place to be. So have a look with me, chapter 7, verse 20. Chapter 7, verse 20. Moses and Aaron did as Yahweh commanded. In the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, he lifted up the staff and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water in the Nile turned into blood. And all the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile stank so that the Egyptians couldn't drink water from the Nile. And there was blood everywhere in Egypt. This is the first plague. It's pretty nauseating. It's pretty impressive. But as impressive as it is, Pharaoh's magicians can do the same. Have a look at verse 22. just as the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. Now, I don't know if Pharaoh's magicians used a Harry Potter kind of magic or a Penn and Teller kind of magic, but you know, Exodus doesn't tell us. But either way, turns out Pharaoh's not very impressed by Moses' sign, which leads God to send the second plague, frogs, millions of frogs everywhere. But again, Pharaoh's magicians can do it too. And so then comes the third plague, but the third plague is noticeably different. This time God sends gnats, but this time it turns out Pharaoh's magicians can't do the same. Have a look now, go down to chapter 8, verse 18. Chapter 8, verse 18. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they couldn't. So there were gnats on man and beast, and then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." Turns out God, Yahweh, his power can't be matched. The magicians can't do what Yahweh does. God is the creator, he's the ruler of all. Everything and anything is under his command. No one else can do what Yahweh can do. The Egyptian magicians can't do it. Even the Egyptian gods are no match for Yahweh. In Egypt, they worshipped a god called Hapi. Hapi was god of the Nile. But Hapi couldn't stop God turning the Nile to blood. They also worshipped a god called Heket. Heket had the head of a frog. But Yahweh could bring millions of frogs to Egypt. All of this is just adding up to show us that there's no one like Yahweh. There's no one as great, no one as impressive, no one as mighty. Yahweh is greater than any Egyptian god. He's greater than Pharaoh's magicians. He's greater than Pharaoh. This is a God who is impressively powerful. This is a God who you don't want to be on the opposing team. If you're standing opposed to this God, if what you want in life isn't in line with what God has promised he will do, if the way you're living isn't in line with what God has said he will do, oh, you're in real trouble. That's the clear lesson from these first three plagues. This is a God you must obey because there is no one greater. There's no one stronger. There's no one with any higher authority than him. But Pharaoh doesn't obey. Pharaoh's heart is hard, and he won't let Israel go free. And that leads us to the next three plagues. You'll see in chapter 8, verse 24, God sends a big swarm, great swarms of flies over all of Egypt. In chapter 9, verse 6, God causes all the livestock in Egypt to die. In chapter 9, verse 10, just in case the river of blood wasn't nauseating enough, God sends boils that break out in sores all over the Egyptians. Now, these three plagues, for the most part, they follow the same pattern as the first three. But there is one new thing that, again, is noticeably different. And you'll see it in chapter 8, verse 22. Have a look at chapter 8, verse 22. When God sends the flies, he says, "On that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there." Here's the new thing. God sets apart his people. He draws a line between his people and the Egyptians. See, as alarming as it is to be opposed to God, to be one of his people means safety and security and protection. We see the same thing with the livestock, chapter 9, verse 6. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. It's the same again with the boils, chapter 9, verse 11. Boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. This is in some sense a mirror image, the lesson here, a mirror image of the first three plagues. The first three plagues told us God will judge his enemies. But here we find God's people are safe. Please don't miss the depth of comfort that is, that God loves and protects and cares for his people. that comfort wasn't lost on the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 8, he says very simply, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul says what was true for Israel back in the Exodus is true for us now. If we belong to Jesus, we are safe from God's judgment. God draws a line, and we won't suffer the same fate as God's enemies simply because we're in Christ. In Christ, we are set apart and we're special to God. This is a God who, it is a really wonderful thing to be on his side. Now, you would think that that would be enough for Pharaoh to want to not be God's enemy anymore. But it's not. And that leads us to the next three plagues. One after the other, there's hail, and then there's locusts, and then darkness for 3 days. And yet again, in plagues 7, 8, and 9, there's a couple of significant things that haven't happened until now. And these things particularly help us to see God's grace and mercy. Because God even wants his enemies to escape judgment. The first thing we notice in these last three plagues, Pharaoh and his servants and the Egyptians, they start listening to Yahweh and they start considering, oh, maybe it's good not to be his enemy. They even start to wonder if maybe Yahweh can save them. So have a look at chapter 9, verse 20. When the hail comes in chapter 9, verse 20, it says, whoever listened to the word of Yahweh among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. Here's the Egyptians who are beginning to listen to Yahweh. And then look what happens after the locusts. Chapter 10, verse 7. Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let Israel go that they may serve Yahweh their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined? Once again, verse 16 of chapter 10, this is even Pharaoh himself. Chapter 10, verse 16, Pharaoh himself says to Moses, I have sinned against Yahweh your God and against you. Please forgive my sin and plead with Yahweh your God to remove this death from me. Even Pharaoh himself is finally starting to see opposing God is a very dangerous game. But humbly coming to God, that will save you. And all of that brings God's grace and mercy into really sharp focus when we read the key verses of these last three plagues. It's in chapter 9, verse 15. Chapter 9, verse 15, these verses are really the key verses of all of these plagues, this whole section that we've looked at today. This is really the verses that hold it all together and explain what's going on, because here in chapter 9, verse 15, God tells Pharaoh exactly why all of these plagues have come. So have a look. Verse 15, Yahweh says to Pharaoh, by now, I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this reason I've raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Turns out we discover here, God could have wiped out Pharaoh, could have wiped out all of Egypt on day one. But he didn't. He sent plague after plague after plague, and he didn't do that just because he wants to annoy Pharaoh. He actually did it because he wants Pharaoh to know his power. Now, God's been inviting his people, the Israelites, to know that he's a powerful rescuer. Here we see God actually wants Pharaoh to know that too. In fact, he wants the whole world to know it. All these plagues, they're meant to get Pharaoh to repent and humble himself and realize that Yahweh is a God worth listening to, that Yahweh is a God worth obeying, that Yahweh is a God who can save. Yahweh is showing that he is a God of mercy and grace. And he's extending an invitation to Pharaoh, for Pharaoh to see that Yahweh is a God who is who he says he is. There's no one like him. He keeps his promises. He saves his people. He defeats his enemies. So Pharaoh's absolutely right when he says he sinned against God. To be an enemy of God, that's to be in grave danger. He's right to ask for forgiveness, because to be reconciled to God, to belong to God, is to be safe. He's right to plead with God to remove death from him, because God is a powerful rescuer and he wants everyone to know it, even Pharaoh. And look, all of that makes the way this section ends really tragic. The last verses of chapter 10, if you look at chapter 10, verse 28, you'll see that Pharaoh, even after all this, ends up telling Moses he never wants to see him again. The sad thing is that Moses was Pharaoh's only hope. Moses was the one who could go and plead for Pharaoh to God. The reason God sent Moses to Pharaoh, rather than just wiping Pharaoh out from the word go, God sent Moses to call Pharaoh to repent. It's the same reason God sent Jesus to us. Jesus calls us to humbly repent before God so we can be forgiven, so we can have a fresh start, not as an enemy of God, but as one of God's people. Of course, Jesus went on to do one better than Moses, didn't he? Jesus gave his life to bring us to God. God again drew a line, and judgment this time fell on Jesus at the cross so that it didn't have to fall on us. And in Jesus, God is offering yet another merciful, gracious invitation that people would come and find forgiveness. That people would turn to God and listen to him and belong to him and be safe with him. Now, sadly, that's an invitation that Pharaoh didn't take up. His heart stayed hard, and that leads us to the 10th plague, but we're going to read about that next week. But for now, this part of Exodus is it's a little bit like the camera on your mobile phone. Have you ever wondered why your mobile phone can take such great photos these days, such a tiny camera? There's a lot of reasons for that. But really the main reason is that when you whip out your phone and take a photo, your phone actually takes three photos. And in a split second, it layers those three photos on top of one another to give you the best possible picture it can come up with. In these plagues, there's a similar thing happening. Three layers that give us a very clear picture of God. The first layer, we saw it in the first three plagues, shows us the danger of living in opposition to God. God is a God who will do what he says he will do. He's a God who keeps his promises, and you don't want to be standing in his way. But then add in the second layer, and we see that not only is living in opposition to God dangerous, but belonging to God is wonderful. Belonging to him comes with safety and privilege. But then it gets better when the final layer is added in plague 7, 8, and 9, and we see that even though God could wipe out his enemies, he actually offers a way for his enemies to become his friends. He offers a way for even the hardest of hearts to be saved. Layer them all together, we have an all-powerful God who is graciously inviting people everywhere, the whole world, to come to him and know him through his son Jesus. I reckon that makes this part of Exodus a really good place to stop and reflect for a moment on our mission statement here at Bathurst Presbyterian. All for Jesus. We talk about it pretty regularly. All for Jesus. All for Jesus because God is all powerful. We saw that in the first three plagues. He's made his son Jesus ruler of all, and that's why we want to live all of our lives for Jesus. There is no way we want to be living in opposition to Jesus because God has said that he will glorify and honor his son. We want to live in a way that does that. Because we know it would be foolish, it would be dangerous for us to live in disobedience to Christ. In all of life, we want to live in a way that aligns us with God's plans in Christ. And so the way that we humbly serve one another here as a church family at Morning Church, the way we're generous for the sake of the gospel, the way we avoid gossip about our friends, the way we love in our marriages, being quick to listen and slow to anger, all of those things we do because we want to live all for God's King Jesus. And if there are times in our week where we're living in opposition to God and in opposition to Jesus, please realize with great thankfulness that you're far better off listening to and obeying God. Of course, the comfort is that the gospel tells us God's judgment has come down, not on his people, not on us, not even on his enemies, but on Jesus. And so no matter who you are, no matter what type of life you've lived, if you're an Egyptian or an Israelite, one of the good guys, one of the bad guys, if you humbly repent and turn to Jesus, then the Almighty Yahweh himself is on your side. And you're safe. And he will give you a new heart so as to live for Jesus. But look, being all for Jesus also means we love all the world to know Jesus. And that's what's happening here in Exodus 2. God is driven by mercy. God wants Pharaoh and the whole earth to know his rescuing power. And so, of course, we want all people, we want all Bathurst to know Jesus. Because God is holding back his judgment. Rather than destroying his enemies in an instant, he holds out forgiveness. He is compassionate and he's kind. That's why we love those simple, straightforward conversations, the everyday conversations where we get to invite people, like God does here, we get to invite people to discover Jesus. Those conversations with family and with friends and with neighbors, we love them to know Yahweh through Jesus. Look, that's the showdown between Pharaoh and God. It's not quite over yet, but here we can see that being opposed to God is devastating. But belonging to him is protection. And God's inviting you, and in fact, God's inviting the world, to humbly come to Jesus for forgiveness and rescue. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for mercifully holding back your judgment. Father, thank you for graciously calling us to listen to you and obey you. Father, thank you for showing us your power to save, and particularly, Father, the way we see your saving power in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Thank you that when we belong to Jesus, he gives us new hearts, and we enjoy all the safety and the security and the blessing of belonging to you. Amen.